let me know if you can.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, I'm Joanne Barton, and
I'm John Riccio. How you doing?
Yes. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. We've got a lot of great, exciting things happening. We finished speaking to one more person. We'll make an announcement about that. However, tonight we have relationship expert Rick. I honestly don't believe I'm pronouncing it. It sounds French. It looks French. That's what I'm getting out of it. Rick Stoltebiere is a dating and relationship expert. And without you tonight, folks, we need your help. Because if you could call in, Rick can definitely give you a hand or help you with anything. And we need your help. So if you could give us a call and talk to Rick, you have any questions, he's the guy to talk to. So before we start, I'd like to just say thank you to our sponsors, and we have a new sponsor tonight, by the way, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kidman, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Keys for the Times in Clifton, New Jersey, and FinTech Productions in Ladoka Harbor, New Jersey. So cool. Anyway, Johnny, how are you tonight?
Good. I now hear that clicking that you were talking about before. I hear you ticking like as you speak, so I don't know what that is.
I hear it.
You don't have anything by it. Your telephone,
nothing.
Do you? You have
nothing.
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 Okay.
Nothing. Nothing. Not a thing.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So we'll have to deal with it.
Well, you know what live radio does, so, you know. But hang on 1 second. I've got someone on the line. Let's see who that is.
Well, let's see. I wonder who that could be. We're checking. Who could this be? Who can it be now? Is it Rick? Hopefully it's Rick. We'll find out what people are doing with relationships now that you can't see each other's face really from below the nose or below the eyes, and you can't understand them because they're all muffled.
Yeah,
was that
so
Rick
anyway.
On the phone?
No, we have Rick on the phone. Hi, Rick. Welcome to the
Hi,
show.
Rick.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great, great.
Good. How's it going?
Apologize if you hear a little clicking in the back. Don't know what's going on, but hopefully it'll go away.
Is that on your end or on my end?
No, it's on our end. We're not sure where it's coming from. It could be a technical issue with our platform that we're on.
Oh,
Rick,
okay.
Rick,
go ahead.
Please help me pronounce your last name. I see Stoltebiere.
Well, that's close. You're getting a little French or European with it. It's Stoltebiere.
Okay.
Just like the two beverages, you know, soda
right.
and beer.
Right.
And you know, if you write it that way, you'll never forget how to pronounce it.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm doing right now. Because I said, I don't know what it is, because I used to work for the French, maybe. When I see something French, I just have to pretend I speak French. So
there you go.
Rick Stoltebiere, je m'appelle Joanne. How are you? You know, so. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rick. I really appreciate it. And,
hey, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, how long have you been involved doing relationship and dating expertise and advice and helping people out?
Well, as far as relationship coaching, I've been doing this for about 7 years. I co-authored a book on dating and relationships about 6 years ago, and it all started that through my background is I've been a student of self and relationship improvement for over 35, well, that's almost 36 or 37 years now.
Wow.
And I was a financial advisor up until about 7 years ago. And the last couple of years that I was there, I just really wasn't happy. It wasn't my passion anymore. And I was on the phone with a friend, and she challenged me. She says, "What's your passion?" And it took me about a week or 10 days, and you know, after recently going through my own divorce experiencing and seeing a lot of other people going through divorce, I recognized that, you know, there's not a lot of good information on how to date. There's a lot of great books out there on how to fix a broken marriage, but there's not a lot of information on how to find the right one.
Right.
So when you do that, you take a lot of work off of the back end. When you get into the marriage and years down the road, if you're with the right person, that work is so much easier. So anyway, we got back on the phone, and I started sharing my ideas for a book, and she started throwing some good ideas back at me, and I stopped and said, "Why don't you help me write the book?" She stopped and said, "Okay." And 3 days later, we had a working outline, and we were off to the races.
Cool.
And,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you if anybody gave you a hard time since you were divorced and said, "Well, what makes you an expert if you got divorced?"
Well, because I've done it all. I've made all the mistakes, or a healthy share of them. And one of the things that I've been blessed with is the ability to recognize the mistakes that I make.
Right.
And you can talk to me for about 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes on the outside, and I can pretty much tell you where your problems are in the relationship. You know, as long as you're being straight with me, I can pretty much identify what's going wrong and why.
Right.
And what you need to do to correct it.
Right. And do you dabble in matchmaking at all, or
no? No, I don't do that. I've not seen, and I'm sure there are a few good ones out there, but for the most part, the most of the matchmaking I see is corporate matchmaking, and it's just it's more a money grab and a play on your emotions as opposed to finding a great mate for you.
Hmm. So are you noticing an uptick in people reaching out to you with the crisis and people being stuck in the house and being with each other 24/7?
Well, not so much yet, but I think that's coming simply for the fact that there's a little bit of a lag time in how this all works. We're all just suffering right now and with the self-quarantining, and here in Missouri we're starting to open up a little bit, so we're starting to move around a little bit more, and so, you know, other places I know they're still on pretty heavy lockdown and things are not open, but I think once people start getting out and moving again, then I'll start to see some uptick I don't want to see divorce, but I think we'll see some of that too.
Yeah, I actually heard today that they expect the divorce rate to go very, very high after this.
It could very well, because anytime you spend this much time in close proximity to somebody you don't spend a lot of time with, mm-hmm. you're going to find out a lot about them.
Right.
Know, so. And they're going to find out a lot about you, too. So.
Oh, wow, absolutely. Yeah. But so let me ask you this now. Has your expertise helped repair relationships? Well, What would you say the majority, you have more of a positive reaction to people that are going through issues, or you also have negative issues, I'm sure, but...
Well, and I think I understand the question. Yes, if you're in a relationship, I just worked with a fellow yesterday that was really struggling with his marriage, and we talked for half an hour, 45 minutes, and I just looked at him and I said, this is what you need to do.
Right.
And he said, yeah, but in the end, he finally agreed, and as a matter of fact, while we were talking, his wife called and they started working things out. So there was already some positive movement in that relationship. But a lot of what I see are people, and I don't work with married couples that much. That's a rare example. I work more with singles or single couples that are dating. And the more often I get questions about, is this the right guy? Is this the right woman? Is this normal? Is this, what should I be looking for? I really love this guy, but,
nice.
And then they have a laundry list of problems. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be, you're with the wrong person.
Right.
And they just, and I think deep down they know it, they just haven't come to that admission to themselves, and they needed somebody just to kind of push them over the edge, so to speak, and get them moving in the right direction. And they also have to understand that they deserve it, typically they deserve more than what they have in that relationship,
right.
Because they're struggling to maintain a less than ideal relationship. There can be significant emotional problems, or there can be neglect or abuse and any number of things involved. There was a young lady that reached out to me via Facebook and asked, and told me her story. And basically the young man she was dating, they haven't talked on the phone after 2 months. They haven't met after 2 months. And I said, you're dealing with somebody who just wants a friend. And she was falling in love with somebody that she hadn't even met.
Right.
And so that becomes very common in today's society, especially with the millennials that they're so tech oriented and texting back and forth. That's how they develop their relationships, and they're not really deep, meaningful relationships.
Right. Well, let me ask you this: the majority of your clients or people that you speak to, are they more male or female?
Actually, for the most part, it's probably about 60% female, 40% men.
Oh, not so bad.
No, not at all. And I'm pleasantly surprised. I've been noticing an uptick in men buying my book. Traditionally, men only buy about 20% of the self-help books.
Mm-hmm.
But their purchases are increasing in number, and so I'm guessing that I'm probably about a 30-70 split there. So that's exciting to see. That men are taking a more proactive interest in becoming better at dating and courting a woman.
Right. Now let me
hey,
ask
Rick.
You this. Now these. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I got a question for Rick. Believe it or not, about 30 years ago, I was a marriage therapist in one of my other lives, my previous life, and the whole
John, what
the whole
John,
thing.
Wait, what happened?
what haven't
John,
I
John?
Done? well, this is true, and I used to see the couples together. Very rarely did we see them separate. Like a husband or wife, we always see them together. And I think that everything has changed so drastically with the internet now, where even the people who are married,
right.
you see them, they're texting to each other and they're sitting next to each other, and you know what I'm saying? They
right.
lost the personal touch. People don't know
right.
how to communicate to each other anymore.
No.
It's on the screen. It's on the
right.
tablet.
Right, and intimacy is gone.
How do you deal with someone, especially the millennials nowadays, who you can't get their damn phone out of their hands? You take their phone away, they'll die. How do you work with these people who don't want to talk to each other face to face?
Well, and that's a great point, because and I'm almost as guilty of technology as millennials. You know, however, when I'm on a date, I turn my phone off and I put it away. You have to teach millennials. You know, and I tell a story that several years ago I was doing some Uber driving, and I was talking to a young man in my car, and we were talking about dating. And I said, when I was a young man and just getting into my dating, you had to call the young lady by Wednesday for a date on Saturday. I mean, that's just
right.
What
that's
you
right.
did.
Right.
And now, and he told me, he says, well, geez, you're kidding. Because we text 2 hours in advance and say, yeah, a bunch of us are going over to such and such a place. Come and meet us over there. Well, they rarely date individually. It's all group dating. And so
right.
they just don't get a chance to develop deep, meaningful connections. And even, you know, as young, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, you know, back in my day, we dated, and you got your heart broken, and you learned, and
right.
you moved on.
Right.
And, you know, I just don't see that as much with younger people today.
Right.
But the key is, you know, like the young lady that I was talking about, they had texted for 2 months, and I told her, you have to talk to each other. You have to get out and meet each other. Otherwise, you're just wasting each other's time. You're falling in love with a fantasy.
Right.
And you can't possibly tell if there's chemistry between the two of you until you can meet face to face.
Right.
You know, I've talked to, you know, as I've been dating, I've met women that we've had great conversations on the phone, and the minute we get together, there's dead air.
Right.
You know, there's just no spark. There's no connection. There's no chemistry.
Mm.
And so, you know, it is so important to put the phone away and have a face-to-face conversation.
Well, that was my next question. Are a lot of the complaints and gripes of the people that you talk to, are they related to people spending too much time with their devices and not togetherness?
Well, there's a little bit of that, but most of my clients are 40 plus, and not that there's anything wrong with working with the younger folks. The stuff I teach is great for anyone 18 to 80. But what I found is the 40 and above are more serious. They've been married for 20, 30, 40 years when they come to me, and they're thrust back into the dating world, and it has changed dramatically over the last 20 or 30 years. I mean, you know, the last time they dated, they didn't have texting. They didn't have online dating. You know, they didn't have a lot of the apps and social stuff, the social media, the Facebook and Instagram and all the other places that we get social today. So there's a lot of issues with trying to figure out how to get back in and how to back into the dating world and how to be social again.
Right.
Hey, Rick, can I ask you another question, Rick? Rick?
Yeah, yes, sir.
With all these dating sites like Plenty of Fish, Match.com, and all this stuff, they basically you have hundreds and hundreds of women or men to choose from, okay?
Right.
What I see a problem here is that, say you meet someone, and, everything's working out good, but I want to see what else is out there. I want to see if there's someone pretty or someone smart or someone more like me or whatever. And I think to have the more dating sites that are out there, it just leads to more problems because you're never going to be satisfied because you're always going to be looking for someone better than the person you just met. Is that the case sometimes?
Well, I think that plays a huge factor, and it's a factor that affects marriage, or even long-term relationships, that people are a little less willing to work on the relationship because they can turn around and find somebody tomorrow or tonight.
That's right.
You know, you can break it off, mm-hmm. and you can be online and talking to somebody in a couple of hours.
Right.
So I think that plays a huge factor in the stability of relationships and the ability to work on a relationship.
Right.
I think online dating has some interesting advantages, and I look at online dating as a tool, and it's a tool that allows you to step out and meet people that you wouldn't normally meet in your daily walk through life, but you have to learn how to use it. I mean, you can't use it as a crutch to say, I'm done with this relationship and move on. And that's part of the reason I teach my clients to get crystal clear on what they're looking for in a relationship, because what I've learned, both from personal experience and working with hundreds and hundreds of people, is that we end up spending time with the wrong person. And I mean, and when I mean time, I'm talking about a year, 2 years, 5 years into a relationship, and you realize most of that time you're together that it's not the relationship you want to spend the rest of your life in.
Mm.
So I teach them to become crystal clear. I have them create a must-have list, and that's a list of non-negotiable characteristics that you want in your next relationship. And I want to be perfectly clear that if you have something that is a would be nice to have, that goes on a different list. You know, things like, I mean, if you don't want to date a smoker, then you write, you must be smoke free.
Nice.
But you know, if they want somebody that earns $1 million and that would be a nice to have. That doesn't go on your must-have list.
Right. Who puts that anyway?
Well, there are a class of folks that will do that. I had a friend of mine here in Kansas City that said she wouldn't date anybody that didn't have a PhD.
Wow.
She ended up moving to the Dallas area and found him. You know, and so, you know, it's all a matter of what each of us wants individually, what's important to you.
Right.
And what's important to you may not necessarily be important to me.
Right.
But the more specific you are, the odds are you're going to find a much stronger, healthier relationship.
Right.
And then you also have to recognize what your deal breakers are. And when you meet somebody, if they have any of your deal breakers or they don't have all of your must-haves, I contend that the first word out of your mouth should be...
Well, I have two more questions for you before I ask you about your book. So
okay.
Let me ask you this. Are most of your clients, are they younger, middle-aged, older? I mean, what is the majority of your clients? I'm just curious to get a idea of who are having issues. That, you know what I mean?
Well, and again, most of my practice is focused on that 40 and above, 40 to 65, 70 year old. I've even had an 84 year old reach out to me.
Wow.
But it's basically because they've ended up back in the dating world, and typically through no fault of their own, or generally it's a surprise to them. So some of it some of the coaching that I do have to do with paying attention to signs.
Mm.
You know, what's going wrong? Are you paying attention to what was going on in the relationship and why it ended? And a lot of times they're toxic relationships, and you know, it's time to move on. They've struggled with trying to maintain a marriage, and they just got fed up and tired and ended up walking away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's generally my clientele. And again, it's generally a little more women than men, but you know, men are coming around as they start to recognize, you know, the value or the benefit of coaching, and how it can help in their lives.
Yeah, but nobody wants to be alone, you know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being alone, but nobody wants to be alone. So, you know, you do what you can to make it work. And like you said, what you're laying out, I mean, those are the things people should look for when you're looking for that forever somebody. So, all right, my next question is, now with all social distancing, having to wear masks, you meet somebody online, how does the relationship work now that we can't really see or be with anybody?
Well, it depends on what area of the country you're in. Here in the Midwest, you know, there are people that wear masks, and there's a majority of us that don't. And, you know, I was sharing this with somebody the other day. You have to, and they asked the same question. And it, number one, it has to do with your level of fear, with your level of fear of what's going on in society right now. But there's, until areas like yours start opening up, you know, you can still do phone calls. You can do Skype. You can do Zoom. So you can have conversations face to face. You're just not in close proximity. And
right.
Then as things, you know, if you're comfortable with each other, you can meet each other at the park or go for a walk or go for a drive in the country or cook, you know, as you become more comfortable with each other. I don't encourage, you know, the first date to be at somebody's home, you know, in either way, you know, just for safety purposes, because you don't know the person you're talking to.
Right.
So, you know, there are still a lot of ways of striking up a conversation and meeting and getting to know each other a little bit, even before you can be in close proximity. But once you feel comfortable with each other and know each other a little bit, you know, you can go out for a drive. You can whatever things are available, whatever things are open in your area. And obviously that depends, that varies widely from state to state, even on how much access. You know, we just started last week here in Missouri, started opening up restaurants. So, there's still a significant amount of social distancing, but if you come in with your lady friend or your boyfriend, you know, you can still sit at a table and talk and have an enjoyable evening. How creative can you be? How creative do you want to be?
Right. Well, make that part of the dating game, right?
That's right.
Right. Well, let me ask you now, your book, Dating Backwards,
Backwards,
A Practical Guide to Dating and Finding Your Soulmate. How does that work without giving too much of the book away, Dating Backwards?
Well just Dating Backwards, the title has two meanings, and I alluded to it a little bit earlier in that most people date backward. They start dating without knowing exactly what they want in a relationship, and consequently they end up in relationships 2, 3, 5 years, and they've spent all this time, and the whole time deep down inside they know this isn't the right one.
Right.
So what we do is we take you back to the very beginning, the very basics of dating. We talk about what love is. We talk about creating your must-have and your deal-breaker list. We talk about communication. We devote 2.5 chapters to communication because it's that important to great relationships. Then we touch on, and you know, we're not diagnosing, but we're giving common signs of narcissism or narcissistic tendencies, codependency, emotional immaturity, so that you can recognize red flags of toxic relationships real quickly.
Nice.
And the sooner you recognize those things, the sooner you can exit. And I think by reading the book that you can date somebody and within 30 days or less, you can tell whether that's someone worth pursuing further.
Right.
And you know, my whole premise is that if you pay attention and do your work up front, you will ultimately find a much stronger and extraordinary relationship. Ultimately, what you want to do is wait for your soulmate, or, you know, for those of you that are in your audience that are rolling their eyes and saying, "Oh yeah, soulmate, yeah, whatever." I get that all the time. Throughout the book, we use the term soulmate and extraordinary relationship interchangeably. It's the same thing. You know, it's just different terminology.
Right.
But the idea is to find that extraordinary relationship and not settle. You know, because and when you're dating somebody that's okay, and it might even be a good relationship, but there's, you know, just things that aren't quite right. When you're tied up in that relationship, you're not available emotionally or physically for the right one when they come along. And
I know, but let's say you've got somebody who's a older age, and like we said, people don't want to be alone, and they don't think there's another person for them out there, and they settle with the person. I mean, obviously, it's a miserable life, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But how can you fix something like that so you can be happy, or you can't?
Well, I don't think you truly can. I think you can work on it and make it okay, but I don't. It will, in my opinion, it will never be extraordinary, because there are too many missing components, or there's we talk about you have to develop an intellectual, a spiritual, an emotional, and a physical connection. I truly believe you have to speak similar love languages to really communicate deeply. And then, you know, there's chemistry, and there's common morals and values. So there's a lot of moving parts to any relationship. And the more hurdles you take out of the way, the stronger your relationship is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got two people that are willing to work at it, and if they're already married and in a relationship or in a long-term relationship and want to make that relationship work, there has to be some compromise on both sides.
Mm.
And the only thing that I will never recommend is that you compromise on your morals and values.
Nice.
I mean, you can compromise on where you squeeze the tube of toothpaste, either from the bottom or from the middle. You know, or you can compromise on how you put the roll of toilet paper on, you know, whether it goes over the top or under the bottom. You know, and there are those small things. You can compromise on where you go to dinner. But,
right.
You know, if you compromise your morals and values, you're really giving up a huge part of who you are. And
no.
that ultimately will destroy the relationship.
Right. Do you have any qualms against a couple having a man cave and a she shed? I think everybody should have one.
I think we all need. I think we all need our space, and because we all need to, have our, for lack of better terms, our zen space where
mm-hmm.
we can just chill out, and ladies, it might be a spa day. Guys, might be a golf day. It might be the man cave or the she shed. Whatever works for you, whatever works in your relationship. But you do need to take time apart. You know, if nothing else, just a few hours a week, where you can just relax and just clear your head of everything, and then you can come back together and have great conversation and figure out what the next week brings or how the past week went. But you do need that time. You just need a little decompression time, especially if there's kids involved and if there's younger kids, dad's got to be involved and take the kids and leave mom at home or let mom go off and do her thing, for a few hours and just have, and then as parents, you have to come together and have adult time. You've got to step out and have date night, to maintain any marriage or long-term relationship. You've got to have date night.
Right.
You, and unfortunately, we all get too wrapped up in our lives, and the date night gets put on the side because the kids got to do this, and you know, we got a business trip out of town, and you know, family's coming here, whatever it is, you know, we just, you gotta put that on the calendar every week or at least every month.
Let me ask you something, like when your kids, okay, a family has spent their entire family life together, let's say up to the age of an adult, okay, the child becomes
right.
an adult, and
right.
pretty much they did everything together, and now the kids are grown doing things on their own, and really the times that you did everything, you did it with the kids, and now
right.
they don't want to do it with you anymore. How does the relationship get back to being just me and you and no longer us?
If you've worked at it and you kept date night, you're not going to have a significant problem, other than letting the kids go. You know, the empty nest syndrome, and I have one daughter, and when she moved out, it was like I was about to lose my mind.
Right, because you don't know what to do after that.
It's just that one, and I only have one. And, you know, so when that voice, when that body, when that personality was gone, it was like, oh, crap, now what do we do?
Right.
And so you know, parents have to, and that's the importance of date night, so you can stay connected, because what I find so often is that when the kids leave home, mom and dad have to start learning all about their partner again, because they spent the last 20 years taking care of kids and taking care of kids' needs and not focusing on each other. And
right.
that's why it's so important to continue to focus on each other, because the kids, you know, when they're babies, it's all new and nice and you know, exciting, but you have to realize that they're only going to be there for 18 to 20 years.
Right.
You know, and then they're moving on to their own lives, or you know, they should be. So you need to maintain that connection, and so that when the empty nest, start now. Absolutely, absolutely.
Start
you know,
now.
If you're 10 years or even 15 years down the road with kids, start getting back into date night, because realistically, 3 more years they're going off to college, 4 years they're going off to college, and you know, you got an empty house. They'll come home for holidays, and that's going to be about it from here on out.
Wow.
So yeah, you've got to start reconnecting and learning who each other is again, because you know, and I find it so very common with moms that they're the primary caregiver, and she focuses all her time on the kids and not enough time on dad, you know, and dads need, ladies, your husband or your boyfriend needs your attention too. You know, and it's just a balancing act, and guys, you know, you come home from work, don't just plop down on the couch and become a slug and turn on sports or turn on TV, spend some time talking to your wife or to your girlfriend. And you'll find out how their day is. You know, if you need some decompression time, agree to that. You know, where when you walk in the door, that your spouse isn't going to be asking, well, how was your day? Here's what happened here. Yada, yada. If you need some decompression time, take it and plan it. And then come together after you've wound down a little bit and settled down. Then you can talk, and you're much less likely to get into an argument or – you know, be grumpy or growly so just take some decompression time. So,
well,
Rick, I got a question.
Go
Rick,
go ahead, Jenny.
I want your opinion on this. In your opinion, with today's millennials or younger people, say from like 20s to 35, 40, what is the best
uh-huh.
age that you think they should actually tie the knot and get married? The reason I ask is because in this lifetime right now, I did wedding photography and video on the weekends at weddings, and I do like maybe 50, 60 weddings a year. And I say 60% of the people were younger, okay? And right before the wedding, the ceremony, the groom and the groomsmen were drunk out of their mind, okay? The girl seemed to be more stable, but, you know, spending all this time with them, you realize that the groom and his groomsmen, they really don't care about getting married. They just care about sex with the girl or, you know, their friends and all this stuff. And the girls, on the other hand, are thinking, oh, they want to have a house, they want to have children. And and in my mind, I'm thinking, I give them like a year, two years back. And it's good for me because it's repeat business. But, you know, these people, you know, the
John,
men
mean,
or the boys don't want to, they're into partying and having fun, and they're not taking it serious. And you could tell by the end of the night that the reason why they want to videotape is because they're so drunk they don't even remember what they did on their wedding day. So they can watch it later on. It's very sad.
You mean the younger couples, right, John?
Up to like 35.
I think that's, you know, that's a party generation, and I think there's a whole in my opinion, there's a whole generational thing going on there, that because they haven't spent time really dealing with relationships, you know, and for me, you know, I started dating at 16, or maybe even 15, you know, so don't have that experience. Most kids today don't have that experience of dating anybody exclusively until later in life. So they haven't developed any real social skills or people skills. And so that's part of the reason they have a general emotional immaturity about them. And sadly, you know, unless you're I go back to being crystal clear about what you want in a relationship, and most young people, and I go back to my financial advisor years, trying to talk to young people about money and being serious about life ahead. They're there to accumulate, have good time, party, you know, do what they want to do. They don't get serious about their life until, you know, you get into your late 30s, early 40s, and then it's like, holy crap, we just spent, you know, 10 years together and we haven't done anything except spend money and accumulate crap. You know, so it's a huge issue. And, you know, I agree with your observation. It's what I see. And I see most of these marriages ending after 5-10 years, and, you know, some will last 20 years. And that's when the 40-year-olds come to me and say, yeah, we screwed up. And I got married way too young. And, you know, it's just a lack of maturity, in my opinion. And, you know, not that I was that much more mature, but, you know, at their age. But I think I didn't get married till I think it was 32 when I got married. So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, you do individual coaching. I mean, you do courses and workshops.
Yep.
Ken, you must have gotten like some crazy stories. So can you share anything with us of like,
well,
like,
you know,
like you said to yourself, are you serious? Are you really in talking to me about this right now? I mean, any idiot could figure this out. I mean, come on. You know?
Yeah, and it comes more from individual coaching, but you know, there's a common theme among most people that we settle, and one of the most common stories I hear, or the common threads I hear, is I never wanted to date a smoker, and I don't want to date a smoker, and when we talk about building your must-have list. People, I had one woman in a workshop one night tell me that I swore I would never date a smoker, and I ended up dating him for 5 years. And part of the reason is she used the terminology no smokers. you know, I don't want to date anybody that smokes. Well, what's the first picture that comes to mind? A picture of a smoker. So that's what you're going to find. So, you know, and I go back to the must-have list because I think it's so critically important to help keep us focused on what we're looking for. You would write that in a format such as must be smoke-free. So your picture automatically becomes a person that doesn't smoke.
So why why did she stay with him for 5 years?
Because he kept telling her he would quit. You know, even in spite of the fact that and had she been steadfast on her no smokers, she would have said no. Come back to me in a year or 2 years. You know, when you're done smoking
There must have been some attraction to stick around for 5 years.
Absolutely. I'm not denying it.
So does that list sometimes have to go in the garbage because there's other attractions that you know you want out of the relationship other than the list that you have and
never
and that list kind of you put in the back of your head and you just live life.
If you do that, that's how you end up settling. You know, and so the whole idea is to not settle, and I'm after the research I've done over the years, you know, 85 to 90% of marriages are mediocre marriages, and you know they and I'm talking about the there's only about 60% of first marriages that last, you know, till death do us part, and. About 85 to 87% of those are mediocre marriages. There's only about 10% of couples that are really happy, healthy, soulmate or extraordinary relationship type couples. And the interesting thing, you know, you can, and I get grief sometime about making a list and you know, your must have list and. What I've found is from all of the extraordinary couples that I've talked to, the soulmate couples, they've all told me the exact same thing in almost the same terminology. They've all said, my partner brought more to this relationship than I could ever have imagined. Everyone. And so the key takeaway here is that don't settle. You know, if you've got 8 or 20 items on your 20 traits on your must-have list, and the guy you're dating or the gal you're dating has 19, the first word out of your mouth should be next, because you're settling for less than extraordinary. And it may not be a big deal right now, but sometime down the road, it's going to say, oh, you know, I wish he would have been like this, or I wish he would have had this, or I wish he would be like this. And, you know, it's just so sad because, and I've done it. I can go back to the first 30 days that I dated my ex, and I can see the red flags that I ignored and that I missed, and, you know, and that's what I'm trying to teach people is how to recognize those things early on so you don't spin your wheels in relationships that just are bound to fail at some point or at least be great relationships. And a lot of people, you know, and today and I'll circle back around to, you know, the availability of online dating and social media. You know, it really does create an environment of disposable relationships. You know, we don't work on them as hard as we used to.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
Well, I was going to say, I think relationships now are in the future are not going to be like the relationships that we've known and grown up with our parents being married 50, 60 years. I just don't think that there's going to be couples lasting that long going forward, like the way I'm sure there will be, but not the way it used to be. Like,
not in the,
you know what I mean? So
yeah, not in the numbers, but that's why I'm here. That's my mission, is to turn that around and to help people not make those mistakes of settling for Mr. Right Now instead of waiting for Mr. Right, or
right.
vice versa,
right.
or Mrs. Right.
Right.
So it's so critical that people understand. It's so important to understand that the minute you settle, you're devaluing yourself. In that saying, yeah, I don't deserve any more than this. And I so disagree with that. You deserve everything that you want in a relationship.
Right.
And only you can decide what's right for you. I can't tell you. I can't make a list of these are the characteristics you need to look for in a relationship. You know, I can give you some fundamentals, but you know, whatever is important to you in a relationship is important to you. And what's important
right.
to me is important to me.
Right.
And then there, you know, when God or the universe brings us together, you know, the right person together, we're going to mesh and we're going to fit and you know, we're going to enhance each other's lives like you've never experienced before.
Right.
So,
well, what's your advice on this? Let's say you have a reasonable partner and something something about them is just annoying the hell out of you. It's not something that started in the relationship. It just came about after maybe years or whatever.
Sure.
How do you tell them without hurting their feelings? I mean, what would you recommend doing?
Well, Joanne, this is how I feel when you make fun of me in public. You hurt my feelings, and it makes me feel small or belittled and unloved.
Just be blunt, I guess.
Just be very direct. But you start with Joanne. This is the way I feel, or this is how I feel when you do this, or when you say this,
right.
When you don't take the trash out, I feel disrespected. You know, I'm just saying, you know,
I'm kidding.
Yeah. but that's the idea, is that you start with I. I
yeah.
feel this way because, you know, if I start
I,
to think,
I and feel, that's
yeah,
the
exactly.
I feel. Yes.
If I start with you, Joanne, you never listen to me. You never do what I ask. You never
right.
do what I want to do.
Yep.
Then what happens? You start backing up and you start getting defensive and you start saying, well, yeah, I do this and this and this. And then you've got an argument on your hands. So the idea is if there's an issue, you address it. And this is a great question, because I always talk to people. I try to teach people to have adult conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not in high school anymore. You know, and if you're tippy-toeing around somebody's feelings, stop it. You know, if you're kind and being corrective. If you've got a strong relationship and you're communicative, it shouldn't be a problem. But there's and we all make mistakes. Don't misunderstand me. I, you know, even in some of the best relationships I've had, I've screwed up, and I've had to eat crow. I've had to apologize. You know, but we found out, we addressed it, and you talk about these things. So it's all about good communication and maintaining good communication.
Right.
You can't be sitting on the couch, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and not talk to each other. You have to be communicating. You can't be down looking at your phone. You have to be talking to each other. You have to agree to come together at least for an hour a week and just talk about anything that's going on or any problems that you're having in the relationship. And that should be on the calendar. It could be Saturday morning. It could be Sunday evening. It could be
how about
whatever.
How about eating at when you're eating dinner. I mean, you're together. I mean, you should be eating dinner together, and that's when you should could talk. I mean, you know.
Well, you can, but that can. I would be hesitant because if there are touchy subjects, it's much better to have a conversation that is just a conversation. It's not over a meal because you know you can spoil a great meal with a terrible conversation. You know, and dinner time, you know, when you're eating together, it should be a lighter, you know, not a heavy.
It
damn it,
lighter,
Joanne.
It should be lighter fare.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, Rick,
well,
I got another
you.
Question for you.
Oh, go ahead,
I got one.
Yes, sir.
Rick, okay, you have this man or woman who can never find anyone who can, you know, satisfy them with their list of things. How do you counsel someone like that, you know? What do you tell them?
Number one, I tell them that they can never be too picky. Then it boils down to and we do have to take a look at the their list of must-haves and see if there's anything truly unrealistic. But I have never even my friend that said she didn't want to date anybody that wasn't a PhD, I thought that was unrealistic, but that was her choice and she found him. You know, so I can't say that any list is unrealistic. What we have to do then is we have to take a look at where they're looking. We have to restructure their thought process. That you have to start thinking outside the box.
Right.
You know, and if we're talking about a lady looking for a guy, she has to start doing guy things or thinking about where guys are going to be congregating. You know, is it the golf course? Is it could it be at a shooting range, you know, or a gun range? Could it be, you know, it could be any number of things. Or if a guy is looking for a woman, it could be that he needs to take cooking classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where women might congregate. You know, so there's you really have to think outside of the box,
right.
and think unusual things. And start exploring there. And then, you know, you there's still the traditional, there's online, there's work, there's church or synagogue or, you know, whatever you do, however you worship. There's social groups, there's meetup groups, you know, and there's any number of specialized interest groups, you know, and I returned to Meetup because Meetup is a great tool for getting out and meeting people with similar interests. I host a group here in Kansas City, and you know we've got 5,000 members.
Wow!
And
wow!
You know, not all of them are active, but they all get my weekly blog and. And, you know, we get 40 or 50 a month to an event and there are 100 a month, you know, depending on what's going on. And it's a great way to get out and be social, especially if you're single, especially if you're newly single. It's a great way to get out and start meeting new single friends. Because when we get divorced or widowed, our friends typically are coupled up. They're married. And so it's time, you know, it's okay for a while to be that third wheel, but you know, you have to start developing some a new circle of single friends. And then what you do is you start developing different circles of single friends. And this helps you meet other people because oftentimes somebody's going to introduce you to someone who's going to introduce you to someone who's going to introduce you to someone who's going to be the right one.
Mm.
You know, and it's all networking, it's all marketing, so to speak.
Right.
And I know that sounds crass, but that's what dating is. It's marketing.
Right.
You have to put yourself out there to be found,
right.
And you can't sit at home saying, "Well, God will bring me the right one." If that's the case,
You just answered my last question for you. I was going to ask you, for the guys and gals out there who are trying to find their soulmate and dating, what advice would you give them to find that person? And you just answered the question for me. Sorry. You're reading
you gotta
my mind.
You've got to get out. You've got to be social. Because, you know, unless your soulmate is going to be the mailman or the UPS man or the, you know, the FedEx lady, whatever, you know, it, you have to be out and you have to be seen.
Right.
And they have to know you're available and looking.
Right, right, right. Oh, let me, this is weird. It's something I always thought was weird, but it's probably just coincidental. Why is it when you're with somebody, everybody wants you? When you're not with somebody, nobody wants you. You ever notice that?
There's some psychology, and I don't have the information off the top of my head, but there's some psychology and some studies been done on that, that there's a certain attraction level. There's a certain, and I think a lot of that comes from the self-confidence, because you're with someone and you're happy.
Happy, and
you're enjoying life. You're enjoying your partner. Whereas a lot of times when we're single, we're a little less happy. We're a little less, we may be a little less confident, that we don't have somebody, that we're single and alone. So
right.
I think there's some psychology in there. And, but like I said, I don't have the actual information off the top of my head.
Cool. Well, you want to tell everybody about your book, where they can get it, how people can get in touch with you? And
absolutely.
Go ahead.
My book is called Dating Backward, A Practical Guide to Dating and Finding Your Soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find it on my website at ricksodabeer.com. And I'll let you provide the link because it's not spelled like it sounds.
No, it's supposed to be it.
But I gotta
put the hook in there. It's Rick.
Yeah.
Supposed to be it.
Exactly. So it's under the resource section. But if you go onto my website, right on the front page, your listeners can download a PDF. It's absolutely free. It's the 5 biggest dating and relationship mistakes and how to avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is click on the button, say, yes, I want it, put in your name and your email address, and it's in your box in about 10 seconds.
Wow.
And that's free.
Let me write that down so I can put that there. What is it? Five, what is it?
The 5 biggest dating and relationship mistakes.
Biggest dating and relationship. Got it. And that's free.
That will automatically subscribe you to my blog. I do a weekly blog about dating and relationships. And if you want to you can unsubscribe at any time. You know, I have some people that will download it and unsubscribe right away, and I have others that just hang on and keep reading and enjoying and learning. But the book is also available, and I'm jumping back to the book. I'm sorry.
No.
The book is also available on Amazon as a paperback or the Kindle e-reader. So you have some choices there. And then if you're interested in coaching, you can drop me an email at rick@ricksodabeer.com, and we can talk about one-on-one coaching. And then I also have my YouTube channel. I'm sorry, I'm bouncing all over the place.
Oh, go wherever you want. Yeah, tell us wherever you are. You're all over the place. So I'm
going to bounce back to coaching real quickly. I'm not a big fan of long-term coaching. Ideally, we do 2 or 3 sessions, and then you move on. You know, I can pretty much help you move forward, and then maybe come back for an occasional checkup or an occasional refresher. But you know, the idea is to get you out, make you a better dater and help you move forward. And so that's my thing. And so, so that's about it. That's me.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Rick, thank you so much. I had a lot of fun, and I'm sorry we didn't get any callers. I was hoping we'd get some callers asking for advice. Unfortunately, you know, maybe they're a little shy. So
it's often hard to talk live about your personal stuff. But if they want to shoot me an email and share their story with me or part of their story with me, I'd be happy to answer their emails and go from there.
Nice. Well, let me ask you real quick before we go again. Have you noticed an uptick in people reaching out to you during this time? Did I ask you
that? Yeah, we talked about that early on, but I think we're going to see more. I've not seen a huge uptick in it. What I've seen what I'm thinking is going to happen is we'll see more of it after things.
We talked about divorce. I'm talking about just, you know, needing questions.
Yeah, I still think from a coaching perspective, I think that's going to uptick later, and we'll talk. I'm saying 3 to 6 months, I'll probably see something, because you know, people tend not to think long term. You know, they've had some arguments, they try to work it out, and it may be 3 to 6 months down the road when they finally realize that they're having real struggles and they're not being able to resolve their issues. And I want to be crystal clear. I deal with relationships and dating at a very high level. Mm-hmm. If there are issues, if there are deep-seated issues, if there are emotional issues, I often refer those to counselors or therapists, because they get way down deep into the weeds with you and can help you move forward. And I can recognize that pretty quickly. Also, that there are, you know,
someone's in trouble, right?
Someone's in much deeper trouble than I can help with.
Exactly.
You know, and that's why I hold myself out as a coach and not a therapist or a counselor.
No.
So
and
that's an important distinction. So
Well, Rick, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Oh.
Folks, Rick Sotobier, you can get his book, Dating Backward, A Practical Guide to Dating and Finding Your Soulmate, on his website, ricksotobier.com. And also, he's giving away free advice with the 5 biggest dating and relationship mistakes you could make. So all you got to do is go to his site as well and just download that free PDF. And I'm going to post on Facebook where you guys can get that too. Johnny Boy, anything for Rick?
No, I want to thank Rick. It was very, very good, very informative.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey,
thank you.
Don and Joanne, thank you. I've enjoyed it. Good questions and a fun evening. Thank you.
Oh, good. We're glad you had fun.
Thanks,
that's
Rick.
What we like to do. We like to have a good time, you know, just hanging
Absolutely.
Out. Absolutely. Just hanging out on a Wednesday night. That's what we like to do.
That's right. There you go.
All right. Rick, thank you so much. You take care. Good luck. And it was a pleasure. And I will post everything and you'll see it.
Sounds good. Thank you, folks.
Right.
Have a great
take
evening.
Care. Bye-bye.
Thank
take
you.
Care.
Good night.
Night. Oh, wow. I really was hoping we'd get a couple calls, but, you know, maybe people don't want us to know it's them. I think. I don't know. I don't know. I was trying to think of questions that people might want to answer.
I don't think people call it anymore, Joanne. I don't understand why people haven't been calling in, but they're listening to the show, you know, afterwards.
Absolutely.
You know,
I know that.
Yeah, they can't do it on a Wednesday night. Maybe, you know, and I know I download podcasts and I listen to shows later on while I'm driving or doing something. I don't really listen when it's happening, you know.
But anyway, we have some exciting news coming up. We just need to confirm one more thing, and we'll post about it, and we'll announce it on our next show. Let's see who's coming up next week, Johnny Boy. We got the calendar right next to me. Ha, ha, ha. How's that?
Not Ernest Borgnine, right?
No, not yet.
Ernest
Borgnine
next week?
Okay. Not yet. Oh, no, we got John Fort Coley and Dan Frischman. So I'm excited about those. That's going to be a lot of fun. And the 27th, I'm looking forward to, too. Butch Patrick and Stan Livingston. That's going to be fun. And, of course, on the 31st, it's going to be a great time, too, with Rob Parisi and Ed Rambo. And what was I going to say to you? Oh, Mr. Alves, Joe Alves, our production designer at JAWS. He will be on with us June 17th. So I'm thrilled
Excellent.
To have him come back. And he will have no interruptions. We will have an evening with Mr. Alves. So anyway, thank you all. Hope you're all staying safe out there, trying to get back to normal safely. And we can do that. Thanks to our sponsors, the High Barn Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times in Clifton, New Jersey, and Syntech Productions. They are a new sponsor. And Syntech Productions is a studio for independent artists. If you are like me, who is a songwriter or have lyrics or anything like that, but you can't play an instrument really good, this is the place to go. I mean, they've got the best musicians there, and they'll put together a demo for you or a full package. I mean, you know, I would definitely check them out if you are looking to do some music projects and you are an independent artist. They are really great, and I've actually worked with the owner actually, and we've had a great time, and he's a really talented guy. Anyway, SyntechProductions.com, check it out. And our site is being revamped, and we will have some exciting news, I'm hoping, very soon. I will post it once I get it, and if we don't hear by then, we will definitely announce it on the next show. We just need to confirm with one more person with what we need to do, and we'll have our announcement. So that's it. So happy Wednesday, everybody, and happy Memorial Day is coming. John, I didn't realize Sunday that this was a holiday weekend when we booked the weekend. You're good for Sunday, yeah?
I think so. It should be okay.
Yeah, I totally didn't realize it. I'm sorry. I don't know what the heck. You know me. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere, but I'm not here. So I'm everywhere but here. All right, honey, thank you so much. Love you. Love all you guys. And thanks for listening. Thank you to Rick Soda Beer. And we will see you soon, guys. Take care. Thank you. Have a good night, all.
Have a good night, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.